السلام عليكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Thumma alhamdulillah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsan al-taqweem. All praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. Wa ba'atha nabiyina mubashirin wa munzirin, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, his is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd, to him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions. Ajma'in, all of them, wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. La uqsimu bihadha al-balad, wa anta hilun bihadha al-balad, wa waladin wa ma walad. Sadaqallahu al-azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Surah Al-Balad, chapter 90, he says, I swear by this city, and you are a free man in this city, and by, we're accepting an expression of it, the mystic tie between parent and child. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. We're continuing today the subject, our families, our future. Our families, our future. And I'm going to pick right up where we ended last week. We were speaking about the woman in labor. What happens when the woman is in labor. And so I'm just going to go right to where we ended. There's this hormone that is named oxytocin. Oxytocin is the hormone that causes the uterus to contract during labor. Levels of oxytocin gradually increase throughout labor, and they are the highest around the time of birth, when it, that is this oxytocin, contributes to the euphoria and the receptiveness to her baby that a mother usually feels after an unmedicated birth, meaning that she just goes through the whole pain cycle and everything. Oxytocin has another crucial role to play after the birth. Oxytocin causes the contractions that lead to separation of the placenta from the uterus and its release as the afterbirth. That is, it facilitates that change in the birth process. When oxytocin levels are high, strong contractions occur that reduce the chance of bleeding or postpartum hemorrhage. Like the other hormones, prolactin has effects on emotion and behavior, right? So you have oxytocin, and now another one that's being introduced here is prolactin, okay? Prolactin helps us to put our baby's needs first in all situations by increasing submissiveness, anxiety, and vigilance. Let me just make a kind of footnote statement on the idea of anxiety. How is it that anxiety can be a good thing? It's a good thing for and from the female perspective, because she is the one who is really the guardian and the one who has the primary responsibility to look out for the safety and the security of her offspring, of the child. And one of the things that increases this vigilance is anxiety. So the anxiety makes whoever is anxious, but it's really a part of the proclivity in the female. I mean, across the board, birth, not birth, or what have you. Across the board, for her to be sensitive to threats, sensitive to negative thoughts, emotions, meaning that she's like on the lookout for that because of this primary protector role. One of the scientific terms for that state is neurosis. Neurosis. Most times when we hear, there's so many, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Most times when we hear these psychological, even, you know, scientific terms, if you will, most of us, if we have had any exposure to it as lay persons, we only get the negative meaning of it, right? So when I say neurosis, neuroticism is a trait that is useful for self-protection, right? Well, it's preponderant in the female, that is birth, not birth, or what have you, because of the natural role that Allah has given her. So in terms of this prolactin and its increasing this inclination towards anxiety, it is for the purpose when it comes to labor and its real, at that point of childbirth, its real function is prepping the mother for the role that she's going to have to play in the life of this newborn. So it's really the biology, you know, all this is tied to Rabbil Alameen or Rabb, which we'll say more about in a minute. Excuse me. And so this is just to say, at this point, this prolactin is coming online at this point of the labor and delivery, so that it begins to psychologically and emotionally set this new mother of this child up for the role that she must play as a part of Allah's plan, the mystic tie between parent and child. As a part of Allah's plan, it's like, I'm bringing this child into the world and I'm putting this child first in your charge. And I need you to make sure that you have this sense of duty toward this new birth, because this is my creation. But I'm just putting you in charge of my creation, and I expect for you to do what I expect for you to do for this new human being. You know, we call them our children, but they're really God's, in the sense of, Quran, straight up. The Quran says, He creates males and females in the wombs as He pleases. And He knows those that reach term, and He knows those that fall short. So any human being that comes into existence, why? It's because Allah wills that that human being come into existence. And then it's the parents' responsibility to continue the work of Allah in the life of that new creature so that it can begin to achieve the destiny for it that Allah has for it in their very brief short sojourn in this world. Okay. So prolactin increases the submissiveness, the anxiety, and the vigilance, and I've just explained the reason being. When prolactin is combined with oxytocin, as it is soon after birth and during breastfeeding, it encourages, listen, this year, the emphasis for this is, look at what Allah is doing to the heart, the mind, the spirit, of this mother that's giving birth to this new human being. These are the things that are happening inside of her, right? So soon after birth and during breastfeeding, this prolactin combines with oxytocin. So they start working together, right? It encourages a relaxed and selfless devotion to this. The hormones are doing this. Do you understand? It's like you, like a doctor gives a, well, tell me what's going on with you, and how do you feel, and it feels like what, and when do you feel this way, blah, blah. The doctor would do this, which call it diagnosis, prognosis, and prescription. That's what three-dimensional physical doctors, that's what they do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already got the prescription in the body of the mother giving birth. This is what you need. So it's, we're looking at Allah's prescription for mothers in labor and giving birth, and new mothers who now have to begin the responsibility of nurturing the child in the best way. So Allah, He has the default setting, if you will. He has the default setting in our nature to begin to encourage, by this mix of prolactin and oxytocin, to encourage a relaxed and selfless devotion to the baby that contributes to a mother's satisfaction and her baby's physical and emotional health. You see? So, we human beings, we don't even have to think about and figure out what needs to be best done for this newborn child and what is to be understood by this new mother. Allah has already put it in the natural mechanism to do everything that needs to be done, such that the mother and child and their relationship to each other will be the best relationship according to the design of the Creator of both of them. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, Rabb, this name for our cherished and sustainer, as we explained and we restate here, Rabb means the one who gives everything what it needs in the measure and in the manner and at the time that it is needed in order for it, whatever that new life is, in order for it to reach its maturity. This is the rub. Everything I've just described about oxytocin, prolactin, the impact on the mother's psyche, the benefit that comes to the child, this is all Allah's design, right? So when it says, وَوَلَدٍ وَمَا وَلَدٍ, and to use that translation that says, or expression of it that says, and the mystic tie between parent and child, I want us to understand the anatomical, the biological, the physiological, the neurophysiological fact of that design. We didn't design it. Allah designed it. We just, as our intellects grew, we said, oh, okay. They studied. They said, oh, this is doing that. That's doing this. This doing that. But what are they doing? All they're doing is bringing to the surface or bringing to the mind or making explanation for something that's been going on for a billion years, for millions of years at least. So that is the Rabb. That is the Rabb. He does that. Now, while we're talking about just childbirth in this regard, but understand, he's Rabbil Alameen. Rabbil Alameen, he does that for all systems, everything. And when we follow it, discover or understand the natural course of things, this is where tarbiyah comes in. Tarbiyah. So Rabb, R-A-B-E is usually our transliteration, right? Okay, Allah, the Rabb, has done what he has done in terms of what we just explained. And in this particular case, but we're watching the movement of the human being along this, let's call it, conveyor belt. Okay? Sperm and ovum get together, zygote, 9 months, labor, boom, here comes a child. Who did that? Rabbil Alameen. Okay, now God is saying, you, father, mother, it's your turn to continue the process that was started by the pregnancy, right? And alhamdulillah, Allah, you know, let's just take it in that sense. It's like, now, you know, I gave you a pleasure like no other pleasure that you know in this world. You know, that's how much trouble in the world is going on because of seeking that thing right there. If pardon me for calling it that. But so God has no question or doubt. Say, I can't lose with the stuff I use, right? So I got y'all, right? Okay, so I got that. You see the value of it. Okay, now is your turn to fulfill the obligations that follow up that great pleasure. And the mother, she first experiences, oh, you know, and we see in the story of Maryam, alayhi salam, the mother of Isa, she said, if this be from God, why am I feeling all this pain, right? Okay, well, that's how a woman can feel, no doubt, maybe that's even putting it lightly, in the midst of childbirth and in the midst of labor, it's like, wow, this is hard. So her pain, you know, is right there. But then I bring your attention back to Surah Al-Shahr, Surah 94, the one that gives us فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٌ إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٌ. Verily, with the difficulty is the relief, right? So that, and the actual, the root term for operating room, like the operating room of a hospital, is also that same term that we get shah, al-insharah, and the like. It means the same thing. So where the woman is giving birth to that child is a place where that usri, yusr, happens in that birth. And then Allah says in that surah, said, وَوَدَعَنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ وَوَدَعَنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ, and removed from you the burden that was on your back. And when you understand that wada'a, that's often translated as relieved you, removed from you, anka wizra, the one that was burdening your back, that term is also tied with an experience that can only be had by a woman giving this unmedicated birth that was mentioned. And it's a moment where when that child passes for the last time out of the birth canal, after the woman has gone through whatever the hours of labor, time of labor has been, there is a release and a pleasure in that moment. That's what the wada is speaking to. It's an instant, a pleasure. Yeah, a whole lot of pain went before. But as soon the last bit of that pain with the exiting of the child and the last part of all of that pushing and breathing, that's the wada. And there's a pleasure there that only a woman who is given unmedicated natural birth can say, yeah, I know what that is. And so the usri yusr, right there, the difficulty. So she's experiencing her difficulty from a physical perspective right there at that time in that moment. So now the father, he has to start his role in taking care of that. And we know how many failings, we have some idea of how many failings are in the world with regard to the man taking his responsibility for that child that has now come into the world. And that's a part of what needs fixing in our world. And let me say this as I continue. I said it last week. I want to be sure to say it now. My intention in all of this is to lay out a blueprint. Let's say the blueprint. This is Allah's desire. Now, all of us in our own ways at different times and to different degrees have fallen short in some of whatever I'm talking about. It doesn't matter which point in this conversation, this series of conversations that I get to, all of us will be able to say, ah, man, yeah, I missed that bus, man. Yeah, okay. Oh, man, that one too. Yeah, that's the way. So look, listen, what's universal is also the most personal, but none of what I'm saying, oh, he thinking about me when he say that. No. I'm just teaching what the teaching is, right? Everybody has to take ownership to their own material, as does the speaker, because I fall into that category of a father and the parent and the like, and there's some things that I succeeded at and some things that I failed at, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm still working on, okay? So just understand that. So tarbiyah is like at the point of that, that birth coming forward, basically God is saying, it's like, like football, you know? Football is like, okay, the quarterback, huh? And they pass it on to the running back in this case that I'm thinking of. It's like, okay, you got the ball. Who's got the ball? Mom and dad. The parents. And the Quran gives us a dua. Qul rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Say, make this dua for your parents. Say, oh Allah, have mercy on them, even as the two of them nurtured me when I was little. This is dua we should make for our parents, right? The message is that Allah is reinforcing, and this is the stage that we're at right now. It's like parenting, tarbiyah, even in its sharing with Allah's name and attribute in the description of our role, it is telling us this is your role. You are the extension of the Rabb in the life of this new child. God is now using you, and the duty of you under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to fulfill your obligation in the interest of the new life to move it further along the path towards maturity. So tarbiyah, so it's like the parents are deputized under Allah for the service of Allah. So it's a part of ibadah. Good parenting is a part of ibadah to serve Allah in the interest of the destiny of the new life. To fail that is to fail your responsibility to the one who created that life and, of course, everything else created. So it's important for us to understand our status as parents. Our status, meaning our status in the scheme of things. You know, the Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la, surat al-a'la, Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la, ladhi khalaqa fasawwa wa qaddara fahada. He's the one that gave everything its form, gave it a place within the system, gave it a potential to evolve from simple to complex, and gave it a role in the guidance of Allah. Right? So when it comes to parenting, you put parenting, when you put parenting in that schema, then you get an appreciation for Allah's will as relates to parenting. And that is khalaqa. Khalaqa is that we say, as we just gave the dua, kama rabbayani sagira. So khalaqa. So parenting is a two-person job. That's it. That is, you are in the role of parenting when both of you are on the job as relates to that life. Khalaqa. Fasawa, the place within the system. The place within the system is that the parents are the deputies of Allah in service to Allah's plan relative to the life of the offspring, the life of the child. That's your place. You stand in representation and in service to the intention of the Creator, the Rabb, for that child. It's his creation. Okay? وَقَدَّرَ, the potential to evolve from simple to complex. When you're looking at it as relates to just parents, when you take that parenting as a unit, go again, tie back to Surah An-Nisa, the first ayah of Surah An-Nisa, where it says, وَخَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالٍ كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. It just inside of that is the system, the role that when you play your role, then when you, as parents, when you play your role, then that's how that role itself as a parent. And as parents, we evolve from simple to complex in service to the growing needs of that human being. They have little funny commercials where how the person acts with the first child. And then they have how they act with the second child. Right? So it's like, I got that figured out. So it's like we're not as, how can you say, cautious, according to the commercial. But the idea is that as a two-person job, when Allah says, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَ مِنْهُمَا, there again, there's a duality. And from the two of them, there's a way of looking at it that way, but I'm going to stick with the way that I'm talking about رَبَّيَانِي. And from the two of them, Quran is saying that, from the two of them, scattered like seeds, countless men and women, رجال كثيرة ونساء. And so when you go from two-person job, parents, the role is keep moving what Allah intends, right? You serve the interests of the child in the name of Allah. Tarabiyah. You're standing in that place. God has given you your assignment. Do what God tells you to do in relationship to that life. That's your place within the system, right? And then the movement as parents from simple to complex comes from doing that very thing. As you continue, as we continue to do for our children what we are supposed to do for them in the name of Allah to get them moving on the path of maturity, we are also maturing in that process. We are also growing in that process, right? And if we're not growing in that process, obviously something is not being done right. Because Allah is not only evolving them, He is also evolving the parents as well. So, and خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَادَ, and their role in the guidance of Allah. Now, where all of this, خَلَقَ parents, سَوَّى parents, قَدَّرَ parents, هَادَ parents. What is the role of the parents in the guidance of Allah? Right? And تَرْبِيَّة says that as well. تَرْبِيَّة also means education. It means parenting, and it also means education. So, just the label for the role tells us your primary responsibility is to keep what Allah started with the life of that human being, keep what Allah started going. You understand? Yeah, okay, God said, your turn. I just passed it off to you. Now, what do? Keep it going. By doing what's needed for the child when they need it, in the manner they need it, the time that they need it, in order that they can attain maturity. That's your role. And how does that relate to the guidance of God? Tarbiyah, because those two are the same, parenting, education, then one of the biggest responsibilities of parenting is education. That child needs to be educated in the ways and in the plan of Allah, in the way that He intends for them to be educated. Because at some point in time, and perhaps we'll say something about it in the second portion of khutbah, inshallah, at some point in time, you're going to have to turn that human being's life over to them. Okay? And if in fact you have not prepared them for that responsibility, then that also constitutes a failure on our part. Because not only should you and must you, by the design of Allah, turn them over to themselves, it's called mukallaf. Okay? Turn them over to their own self-responsibility. But there's a point in time where we are actually literally cut off from influencing our children, our offspring, in the way that we had the opportunity when they were like soft clay. Tifl, Quran tells us, tifl, pliable, right? So in terms of the role and the guidance of Allah, education is most primary. This, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, Chapter 17, Ayah 23. Allah says, "And your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that you be dutiful to your parents." Here's where Allah is saying, this is the order of significance. First there's me, and then there's the parents. This is Allah. First there's me, and then there's the parents. If one of them or both of them attain old age in your life, say not to them a word of disrespect, nor shout at them, but address them in terms of honor. Okay? So this is Allah telling those people who are receiving al-Islam, receive at the time of this revelation, is speaking to them with regard to how they should respond, react, and respect parents, because Allah has put them in a lofty station, right? And so, because they're in a lofty station, Allah is saying, they work for me. Parents, they work for me. And they took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. So never treat those parents with disrespect and dishonor. All right? The Quran says, don't say as much as oof. Oof. So you know what we, some of us here. But what it also means, because you actually get, this is the magnitude in which Allah is saying it. For examples, in our life, in culture, right now, it's like, you can imagine this, I'm sure. You know, a child saying, That's all they said. They said, Or, oh. It's like, I know for some of y'all, it's like, yeah, well, that's like too much. There's a price. You're going to have to pay for that. But we have something to say about that in a minute, mashallah. but there's another verse, Surah Al-Luqman. That's chapter 31, ayah 14. It says, and we have enjoined on man to be dutiful and good to his parents. His mother bore him in weakness, which we've spent two portions of these khutbahs on already. His mother bore him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship. This is why when the hadith, or rather this is supported, the hadith said, who is it that I should be holding in the highest esteem? And the prophet said, your mother. And he said, and then who? Your mother. He said, and then who? Your mother. Right? And you see how that matches up also with the trimesters. Right, it's like, you know, hey, first trimester, that has its burden, and second trimester has its burden, third trimester has its burden, and then the labor and delivery is even itself another matter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there are a whole lot of reasons that you do not disrespect your mother. You do not disrespect, and this is in the nature of Allah's design for the human being. But let's finish this ayah where it says, and his weaning is in 2 years. Give thanks to me and to your parents. Here Allah is restating the axiology, the order of value. God is saying, first there's me, then there's the parent. But what I really want to, or rather, and what I want to really emphasize, parents, accept the sacredness. This is not just a social job or an economic job or a physical job or what. No, it's ibadah. It's a service to the Creator. It's a divine, I'm going to use that language right now. It's a divine role to be a parent. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but alhamdulillah, all you have to do, reach someone who has not been blessed to have children. And you will find that they long for what? Joking is about. You ain't got none here, you can have mine. No. The idea is that that is a sacred, blessed role that Allah has for us, that in so many instances, just be, if you don't know, you don't know, we don't respond with the sanctity, the sacredness of that role to that responsibility, because there is pain. There is difficulty. There is challenge. Whatever that challenge might be, it can be behavioral issue, it can be economic issues, it's not always emotional issues, it's not always easy being a parent at all. But you know what? That's all a part of the job. That's a part of the job. You don't get that and say, well, I'll leave that part, just give me the good part. No. The whole thing, and you take it all under Allah, it's like, I'm on post. As parent. When we accept that, we're good. So to conclude, the idea is to recognize that after the parent, there's nothing more important. That is after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing more important in this world than parents.
رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ.
O Allah, let not our hearts deviate now if your guidance is aright, and grant us some mercy from your own presence, for surely you are the grant of bounties without measure. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's understood in Al-Islam that the readiness of the soul of the child to learn the faith, to learn akhlaq, that is character and manners, is fertile ground. See, just like the mother is prepared for her responsibility to take care of the new life, the new life itself is also prepared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Allah, the pure, perfect, most high. The child is ready to learn. The child is ready to learn. Not resistance to learning. The child, okay, what do you want to teach me? Child doesn't have any resistance. In fact, children, you know, they love to learn whenever learning takes place. They even play school, you know, before they get to school. There's the aspiration for learning. So Allah has prepared the new human being for it. Now, are we prepared to give them tarbiyah, right? To give them what they need, when they need it, in the manner that they need it, in the measure that they need it, right? That's a critical area of the whole idea of our families, our future. I'm going to start off this portion of this subject matter, our families, our future, with this athar. Athar is a report from a companion that's not necessarily a hadith, but it's a hadith in as much as it's a report and a saying, but the usual way that we understand the term hadith means it is something that the Prophet said. So respecting that, you need to know what is a hadith, what is not a hadith, and what I'm saying right now, it's not a hadith in that technical sense, and they're called athar. Athar is a report from the companion. All right, so it is play with the eye, and it's from Ali radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. He says, play with them for 7 years, teach them the adab for 7 years, be their friend for 7 years, and after that, let loose the reins, right? There are other ways, elements tied to it, but we just start out with that. Ali, for example, he was the first child. He was not mukallaf. He was not at puberty when he accepted Al-Islam from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the first child to accept it. He's also known to be, that is the labels accepted for him, that he's the first intellectual of Islam. I want to zero in on that first statement, play with them for 7 years. Right? MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This syncs up, you know, S-Y-N-C-H. This syncs up with what science today is saying about what children need in order to mature properly. Right? Without talking about, oh, they got that from us. Let's say that they discovered it through their methodology, and only thing that they could uncover was the design, if they got it right, was the design that was always underlying the human condition, the human situation, and they just observed and wrote down what they observed. This is what they came out with. Well, you didn't come out with anything different than what Ali said 1400 years ago. And without going through it, I'll say this much. There's the imprinting, modeling, and socializing phases. This is what social science speaks of. Imprinting stage, modeling stage, socialization stage. And they mirror this that Ali has said, play with them for 7 years. That is, during the imprinting phase, play with them, meaning that's the core, that's the cornerstone. That's not the only thing you do, but the core, the foundation of it has to be grounded in play. Because that's what the nature is alive to at that time. Right? That's not the time to learn geometry, trigonometry, whatever. You know? No. You have to tarbiyah. You have to meet the child where they are. You have to recognize what the nature is calling for, what the nature is open to, what the nature is open for. And you have to, by the design of Allah, what does a child of 0 to 7 need at this time? Right? And so then in fulfillment of our obligation under Allah as parents, tarbiyah, tarbiyah, then we need to know what needs to be done. And once you know that, then that's what you do. Ali, he used to ask his children questions about religious matters in the presence of others. And sometimes he would even pass on people's questions to them to answer. Right? He had obviously already been educating them, etc. And that's also one of the ways that education happens, we know, through questions, right? I want to stay very fundamental right now on this issue when it comes to parenting. The little abstract but significant things that we have to have in mind and that I know relates to us as a generation, as it will always be the case as a generation. One of the things that Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, don't raise your children the way your parents raised you. They were born for a different time. I got a bunch of Allahu Akbars, amens, and everything. That's the one, boy. Now, I already knew it was true. I knew it. I was kind of waiting for that. I said, oh, okay, well, good. They do get it. Alhamdulillah. And isn't that a big mistake that we wish we could reopen that window and climb back through again? Well, hell, I was all right. You know, were you? Really? Do present circumstances show that? You know what I'm saying? It's all serious, but you know I'm going to take a moment of levity in terms of that. But that's the advice of a companion, the first intellectual of Islam, saying, this is your first mistake. If you think that they're going to be raised like you were raised, remember Allah creates males and females in the womb as He pleases. So if He brought you, you baby boomer and somebody else's generation, I'm using their labels. Somebody else, generation X, generation Y, generation Z, millennials, you know, they ain't going to run out of labels for whoever. The point is that even in our own household, in our own children, if there's 5 years, let's say even, of separation between the births, especially the way culture is structured now, your 10-year-old is in a different environment than your 15-year-old was in that environment. And your 20-year-old is in a real different environment than your 10-year-old. And you and I, as parents, You're from a whole different world. And your father and your mother is from a world even farther than... I'm talking about mine. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all got me. It's like my father was born in Sherman, Texas. Mother was born in Denison, Texas. In the 30s. May Allah have mercy on both of them. Their world is different in California in the 60s, for real. Okay? But it's inevitable that their parenting influence. In fact, when they do counseling, as I draw to a conclusion, counseling protocol methodology says that in order to do real counseling, you have to incorporate three generations. So you want to, oh, this boy is having problems, this girl's having problems, blah, blah, blah. So you call the parents in, yes, parents, what, blah, 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 what do you do about this? Right, that's not enough. You got to get her parents, then their parents, and you need to know about their parents. Because all of this, what you see at present, is the trickle-down effect of a number of generations. And so, this advice from Ali, that do not raise your children the way that your parents raised you. They were born for a different period of time, so a part of our tarbiyah today, giving what's needed in the measure and the manner and the time that's needed, also incorporates, well, what is the world that our children are living in? What is that really? What is that? Get down to where they are. And that's all of them. Do you know the world that your teenager is living in? Do you know the world that your pre-adolescent is living in? Do you know the world that your young adult, quote-unquote, child is living in? Because for them, that's reality. You can call it whatever you want, and they can show you what they know you want to see, but that's not always what the reality is. But you know, but you show mom and pop what I know they want to see, but what's going on beneath that is a whole nother world. But they ain't, you, the child is saying, but they ain't ready. I can't tell them, I can't explain, they have no understanding. And this evil world, mashallah, the evil part of it, it's like the anti-parenting warfare, it's massive. Maybe some of you haven't even thought about it. That's a part of my responsibility. Is that, what is it? That's a Geico commercial where it says, well, it's pretty hard once people buy a mortgage, when people get a mortgage, it's pretty hard to stop them from becoming their parents. So that's the motto is, don't become your parents. Becoming your parents is a bad thing. That's what the media is telling them. And if you haven't done it already, I'm telling you, do this. If you want to do yourself some good and you want to see how strategically this world's design is to cut your and my children off from respect for your being and for your advice and for your traditions, get the lyrics from that Frozen theme song, Let It Go. Don't listen to it with the music. Get the lyrics and just read the lyrics. And I'm telling you, you want to hear Satan singing a song to your children. Let it go, let it go, let it go. What are they talking about? Everything in the past. All the traditions. Everything your parents told you. There's a literal line in it that says, that perfect girl is gone. That's the line in the song. The perfect girl is gone. Let it go. Be free. Be the way you want to be. And this is happening. It's appealing to the 0 to 7 years old. You got those that's right in that range, and it becomes a model for them. But to conclude, I want to bring our attention to what the Prophet himself said, and I want to mention something about our game. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the person who has a child should behave like a child with him. Some people have the tendency to, you know, to do that in that way. But the 0 to 7, play with them, 0 to 7, it's like, that's how you're supposed to be. Tarbiyah, the sacred duty and responsibility of parenting, calls for that strategy when you deal with that age range of child. You act like a child with that child, because that does all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have us do for the children of that age and in that relationship. And of course the subject continues, but I want to make that point. So I want to conclude with emphasizing this the game that we have. I actually meant to have a copy of the game. You know I'm unorthodox anyway. Bring me a copy of the game. Bring me a game. So y'all don't tell the Shura police on me, okay? You just there are many labels for the human being, right? Homo erectus, Homo sapien, you know, Homo habilis. You have those, all these different labels that have been applied to the human being over the ages. And there's also Homo narrans. Homo narrans is the storytelling creature. The human being, we really, look, the buildings that we see downtown, etc., and all that, thank you. The buildings that we see downtown, what are they called? They're built in stories. Why? Why is it called stories? Because that's how you build worlds. You build worlds with stories. You just got to get the right stories. Hey, look, Nation of Islam, we got a story, Yaqub. Hell of a story. And it did some serious building up. There's still some people living in them buildings. You understand what I'm saying? So, no disrespect intended. I thank Allah. I used to live there, but I got a new address. Well, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We got to the penthouse. Let's move on. All right? So, Homo narrans, storytelling. Homo ludens is the game-playing creature. Is the game-playing creature. The human being, how many games are there in history? How many games? In every great civilization, they had their games. It was really, man, I know I'm a little long and I was a little late. MashaAllah, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Have patience with your brother, okay? But it has to be said. There's a game, it's kind of like soccer, that was played historically, I believe it was among the Aztecs. And the winner of the game gets their head chopped off and memorialized in their architecture. And that's if you win, not if you lose. And they sign up to play. That's a pretty serious game, right? But that's the human being, okay? Brother and sister, games are the ways that your values are more easily transmitted to the next generation. I could label many, many things, but you go ahead and look at Orthodox Jews, for example, and look at some of the many games that are involved in that. I think about this thing called the dreidel, right? I don't know exactly how it works, but it's a critical game, right? Because it has bearing on what they do. We're familiar with the Focolare, the Associates of Iman, one of them familiar with the Focolare. There's a game that they play. It's like you have a six-sided thing like a dice, but you put different behaviors on each side of the dice, right? Love, patience, forgiveness, mercy, whatever. Good attributes to express. And so they wake up in the morning, those who play it, they wake up in the morning and they kind of just roll out whatever it is. And so if love comes up, for example, then I'm going to be the first to love. That means that the game you play all day is being the first to love. If patience comes up, then you'll be the first one to show patience. That's the game that is played, right? Okay, so the point is that games are the ways that you perpetuate the values. Remember, tarbiyah has to do with parenting. And so we said 0 to 7, play with them for seven years, meaning that's the heart of the game. And tarbiyah being education. This game is an educational game. Very fundamental, very basic, and we already have it in mind. All we got to do is just get some different cards. Because the only thing that would need to be added to upgrade this, meaning to take it up to the next level, is just add a set of cards with a new set of questions. But brother and sister, you got to be honest with yourself, especially reverts. And perhaps many of those who were born in Islamic families but didn't actually get taught al-Islam, some of the things that you need to know of the basics of al-Islam, it gets revealed to you as you play this game that, oh, I thought I knew that. No, you didn't really know that. If you don't know, if we don't know as parents, how can we do tarbiyah for our children? How can I educate the child if I don't know what they need to know? So this is a game that adults need to get it, learn it, and collectively, and we're going to structure things, inshallah, that puts us in a situation where, and we need to just play the game. Don't wax on, wax off. Understand this, brother and sister. It's like you don't always have to do everything because there's some remuneration, some reward, or you do it because you like. Do you always feel like making prayer? If you're real, no. No. But when you know it's time to pray, well, it don't matter whether I feel like it or not. I got to pray. It's a debt. Okay. It's a debt. Parents, adults need to know Islam, because you can't pay your debt to Allah if you don't know what you're supposed to tarbiyah, pass on to the next generation. And if you fail in passing that information on to the next generation, then we all bear some of the responsibility for their ignorance and their behavior, because they were never taught the ways of the religion, the traditions of the religion. Last thing I'll say about this. See, now if that was a Xbox, you'd be wondering if it still works, right? So take that as an advantage feature for our game, right? You can drop it and it don't die, right? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So here's one of the things that's said. The readiness of the soul of the child to learn faith and akhlaq is like the fertile ground in which any type of seed can grow. So we should teach our Islamic traditions to our children as soon as possible before the opposers of our beliefs reach them before we do. Okay, much more to be said about this, but the last thing I say, to be real, to be more formal about it, is so these games are here. I want you to see these games as seeds. I have a lot more to say about it, but see these games as seeds. Don't just think about buying a game for yourself. That's an automatic. You're going to buy a game for yourself. It's something like $32.75, something like that. $33, let's round it up. I'm just saying for announcement purposes, right? And you can get 5 for $20, only if you get them physically on site, location, etc., where there's no shipping, handling, etc., etc. Just get 5 of them for $20 per. So just take that crisp $100 bill or $200 bill, whatever, and do that. And then pass it on. Pass it on. Give them as gifts to whoever, Muslims, with children, without children, whatever. Just distribute them. Just distribute them like seeds. So whatever people do with them, if they, inshallah, it'll land in a place where very serious good is done, because this is a part of our nature. This is a part of our obligation. This is a part of the culture building, which is a whole nother conversation. So I thank you for your patience, but I want you to have that in mind, because you already know that our children of all ages, 3 years old, 4 years old, They got these tablets, they got these phones, they got iPads, and they be locked in for hours on end. What the television used to do for us, these devices do for our young people. The sad part of the nature of this time being different than our own is what kind of stuff do they run up on while they're on those devices? There's stuff that, you know, little bad boys like me and grew up in the elementary and the junior high school, you had to wait until some black and white photos come around and somebody snuck to the school. I know a lot of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. But trust this, it's like, ain't no black and white photos on them tablets, on them iPads. Live action. To our youngest. Right? So we have to get busy to get our influences in there while it's possible, because that other thing is going on 24/7, distorting and contorting and destroying that nature such that it becomes unreachable to us because a wall has been built up around it that's designed, don't be like your parents, let it go. Listen to me, listen to us. We'll tell you what's really going on. They don't know. That's the shaitan. So we have to do whatever, however large, however small we can do to combat those influences, because our families and our future depend on it. And if we fail, all you gotta do is project 10 years from now, for example, from those right now who are in that sphere, but you didn't do anything for them this year, 10 years from now, they're like unrecognizable and unreachable. So we pray that Allah forgive us and grant us His help and guidance. وربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريات ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولي والديا وللمؤمنين يوم يحكم الحساب. Oh Allah, make us to keep up prayer and our offspring too. Our Lord, grant us your grace and accept our dua. Our Lord, grant us your forgiveness and grant that forgiveness to our parents and make us and to all the believers and grant that to all believers on the day when your reckoning will take place. Our Lord, make us Muslims bowing to your will. And of our offspring, make them Muslims bowing to your will. And O Allah, show us our place for culture and celebration and the rites. And turn to us in your mercy. For you are the oft-returning, most merciful. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akimus salat.